Hello, everyone. We are getting started. This is the weekly Q&A with Corinne. We're going to do all the things together today. So if you are watching live, first of all, I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so proud of all of you who tune in live every single week and make time for this. It means a lot to me that you guys actually want to hear me come on here, answer your questions. Sometimes do a little yelling, whatever it is that I do best. The other thing is for all of you who are listening on the replay, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to the replays. That's true dedication. And I want to remind you guys that we do a lot of calls for y'all. And we do it because some of you want to listen to a lot of content. Like, you love the replays. You'll listen to every word that drips out of the mouth of a coach, including me. And some of you don't have the time to listen to everything. We offer a lot and on a lot of different topics so that you guys can pick and choose. I like to think about the No BS program, all of our courses and our live content and replay content is like an on-demand service so that you guys always have any kind of training, any kind of teaching, any kind of motivation, any kind of kick in the ass you need on demand at any time at your fingertips by using your podcast player or by going onto the website and sitting down and going to school with some of the courses. So, all right, a couple of announcements that won't take very long. The Turkey Trot registration will close this Sunday. We have to ship the medals to everyone. So all the medals, all the hats are going out this, they all go out next week because we wanted to ship with the holidays coming and plenty of time for you guys to get your stuff so that when you do your 60 minutes of movement that you have your finishing medal, you have your hat, if you want to do it in your hat and all the things. I will be doing it in Florida. I'm going to be making my mom do it. I'm going to probably make all of my family who's there pick a time where they all want to do their 60 minutes of movement. And if any of them want to do a boot camp or if they want to go walking with me or they want to go for a run or whatever, I'm willing to do 60 minutes as many times during that week as anybody will want in order to, for all of them to become a No BS woman. We have a lot of my brother's friends are coming. Well, not a lot too, but my niece and her boyfriend, and then my mom and me, Logan and Chris, and then my brother and stuff. We're all going to be spending the holidays together. It's going to be fun. So I'm going to make them all move while we're there together. All right. The other comment, The other thing is don't forget camp registration is open. I have a very sweet surprise that's going to be coming out in the next few days where we are going to be announcing. We want as many people registered before November 15th as we possibly can. The juicy swag boxes will start shipping on November 17th for everyone so that our international people get theirs. Then everybody who registers early will get the swag box full of No BS chip clips, No BS coasters. And I don't mean just a logo. I'm talking about like stop eating like an asshole coasters, like things that are going to be in your environment that are going to stop you and make you pause for the cause when it comes to the overeating. So I thought really hard about it. And if you want any information on the Turkey Trot or on camp, all you got to do is go to pnptribe.com, log in as a member. You're the only people who get to come to these events. So go over there and you can check out all the information. The January camp this year, I just sent the workbook off to print. It is legit. It is all about figuring out what you want your goal to be. And then how do you actually go about the thought process behind achieving a goal. So we are not going to be talking about the four basics and we are not going to be talking about what goes on in No BS. We are actually going to be doing a lot of stuff on the art of delayed gratification. How do you do that? We are going to talk about actually finding your why and how, not just how to find it, but how do you tie it into the journey itself? We're doing a lot of work on how do you take each and every day and not get lost in thinking it's going to take too long. Like, how do you make each day impactful, significant, raise the importance of like the little things you do. Because I teach you how to do little things. Well, if you don't fucking appreciate the little things, you're going to have a long, hard road on trying to do them. So we're going to talk about that stuff. So lots of good stuff in there. You can go on over to pmptribe.com to find out. All right, let's do questions now that everybody's here. September 2020 newbie, want to lose 15 pounds. I eat healthy, but too much. So then let's just like, y'all all like just fuck healthy for a minute. This is like a hoser thought that I see a lot of you do, but I eat healthy. Who gives a fucking shit if you eat healthy? If you're overeating, you are saying to your body, screw you. I don't care how much you need. You know what I'd like to do? Stuff you like a Thanksgiving turkey. I think a lot of times we start off with I eat healthy part as if we're sanctimonious. We're a good person. Like, blah, blah, blah. No. You ain't no martyr. You ain't no good person. Your quality of your food has nothing to do with your morality, y'all. It's just what you decide to shove in your mouth. I got plenty of people on this program who don't eat healthy. They eat some healthy stuff, but they eat a lot of shit they like, but they don't overeat anymore. They dropped that part of the habit. And guess what? Shit gets in line. I mean, back in the hundreds of years, we've been eating cakes and shit, y'all. Nobody deemed them bad until we all got to where we're just overeating them all the time. And we had to come up with a good reason to shame people. It, like, I will tell you guys, a lot of the thoughts that you have around food and like, this makes me a good person if I'm eating healthy and blah, blah, blah. All of that was created as a way to shame people into losing weight because they really wanted to. I'm just going to give you all a little history lesson. If you go back about like early 1900s, kind of around in all that age, when we started having a lot of immigrants come over here and farms and people had abundance of food, they really needed to figure out a way to make a difference in the social classes. Okay. So this is like legit. I didn't know this until recently. I was like studying some stuff. Used to be, go back and look at art. If you were overweight, you were a baller. I mean, you were like, overweight means, oh, they're rich. They get to eat whatever they want. They get to have as much. It was glorified to be overweight. That was like the big thing, like the fatter, the better. Like people look back at kings and stuff when they draw pictures of them and when you see paintings and shit, they ain't sitting around waif thin. So we get to the point where, you know, America's getting lots and lots of immigrants, all this other stuff. Well, it suddenly dawned on people that if you're rich, you should be thin. That'll make you look different than all the farmers and stuff because now they got animals and food and they're the ones who are now supplying the wealthy. So when you guys are like thinking about I eat healthy and I do all this stuff, just like listen to what I say. The quality of food and what you weigh doesn't make you morally better or morally inferior to any single person. It's a waste of time to allow yourself to be emotionally drained thinking it. Now, when we do that, it is so that, like in a question like this, and I love this question, I'm going to finish reading it. And I'm so glad you posted it because I've been wanting to rant on this for a long time. When we say things, I eat healthy, but I still overeat, you know what your brain does? Your brain is automatically trying to make you feel better about your overeating when there's nothing to feel bad about when it comes to your overeating. That's the number one signal that I see. The number two thing that it does is it takes the emphasis off the overeating. And that is the part of the equation we want to solve. We don't have to focus on this other side. Like if you're overeating, I literally want all of you to decide. It doesn't matter if it's a donut or a stalk of broccoli. If I'm eating because I'm lonely, I'm tired, I don't want to tell myself to stop, I haven't learned the art of delayed gratification, I don't like feeling antsy in my body, so I'd rather just eat. It doesn't matter what the food is. What matters is, what am I avoiding And what am I not willing to tolerate in my life for my dreams? It's such a better way to be thinking about it. What I want to do is I don't want you guys justifying or excusing or lessening the pain of the overeat. I don't want you shaming yourself over it. I don't want you beating yourself up over it. But you shouldn't need to justify it in any way. It should just be something that's just like, I noticed this pattern and I really want to stop it. So I need to go to work on figuring out the best way to stop it. All right. So that was a long way, like just a rant, but let me get back to the question. All right. I eat healthy, but too much. And then I snack. Yesterday was homemade tiramisu, a pack of fruit snacks, some veggie straws, and craisins. I'm having trouble thinking thoughts to stop me because I'm hungry when it happens. I have perfectionistic tendencies. Thoughts are, so what? I worked out. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm actually hungry. In the moment, I'm trying to think new thoughts, but I choose to do it anyway. That's because you're not identifying what's so intolerable in the moment. New thoughts don't work unless you know why. Like when we say, all right, we're not snacking on this shit anymore. If I'm actually hungry, plan some food. If you notice, Laura, if you're always hungry, if you haven't been planning for stuff yet, you have to plan for it. Your body is saying, I'm hungry. Guess what it's done? It's come up with a very creative, ineffective way to get you to eat when it's hungry. And so what it does is it overeats on all this other shit. Like, I would guess that food, like, just plan a fucking snack every day for a while. Like, a real one. A hearty one. One that you want that will do the job. And I promise you, it's probably going to be just as uncomfortable to actually plan it, because in your mind, you're like, well, if I plan the snack, how am I going to lose weight? And it's like, well, here's what I do know. The way you're trying to do it is guaranteed to not work. Grab acid on a bunch of your kids' shit, like veggie straws and craisins and stuff like that. It's what I would just call low energy food. And I don't mean a little bit nutritional, but not even nutritionally. When I say low energy food, it's like you're eating, but you're not satisfying your body. If your body every day at 3 o'clock is hungry, like legit hungry, then guess what I would be doing after about 3 days of that signal? I would just plan a legit something at 3 o'clock. Every day, so that when that hunger kicks in, I know exactly what I'm going to be eating. I'm not grab-assing and then feeling bad. I'm eating it on purpose and not eating it with a bunch of excuses. The biggest problem that we have going on right here is we're practicing eating with excuses, justifications, rather than practicing eating with conscious, deliberate thinking. Is this like what I want to eat right now? Is this going to do the job? Am I actually hungry? Like, we have to get into the habit, guys. Y'all really need to start eating with all the awareness. If you notice that you have justification in excuse eating, the reason why I have you, like, man, if you use the same bullshit line 2-3 days in a row, it is time to plan food and what it is that you actually do eat during that time to eat it while practicing, like, okay, it's on the plan. And I don't mean it's on the plan so I get to have it, giddiness. No, it's on the plan. I'm breaking the habit of my bullshit excuses. I'm going to figure out, am I truly hungry? If I'm actually hungry, then I will eat it and I will stop when I had enough. If I'm not truly hungry, I know that this is one of those moments where I have to deal with being uncomfortable with it, it being awkward, and telling myself no when I just have increased want and desire going through my body right now. I would love to get coached today. We're not doing coaching today. We're just doing Q&A, Sarah. Restricting thoughts and resistance, not sticking to my plan, please. I just started that. I just did that. There is some coaching already. If one of the people who, I don't know who's inside, I don't know if it's Mary Jo, will you go onto the website and find some calls where we have done some coaching on that already? I just talked about not sticking to the plan. There's tons of calls on that. I need some tips for getting out of the shitty diaper. With journaling, I find that I get stuck in that tape of I'm overwhelmed. No one helps me at home. My work is so stressful. I'm looking for some practical tips. I find myself there way too often. So the first practical tip is just notice that you're doing it. Like, that is the art of the journaling. It's just feeling, okay, I feel overwhelmed because I keep thinking I'm not getting any help. The first question I always ask myself is that really true? Or am I actually getting a little help? I just keep thinking that everybody should be helping in different ways. And then I go to work on, well, why might they not be helping in those ways? Am I asking for it? Do they just not want to? Do they contribute in ways that I don't give them credit for? A lot of times what happens is we get mad when people actually do contribute. It's just like, yeah, but I'd rather sit over here frustrated with the way that they don't than appreciative of the way that they do. So it's like gut checking some of that stuff. The other thing is my work is so stressful. You need to figure out why, like, so if you're feeling stress about work, it's because you have thoughts about your work. It's not that work is so stressful. So that thought right there, the best advice I have for all of you is to say, okay, so what is it about work that I think is stressful? Now, you'll come up with a list of, you know, 3 to 5 things that you think is stressful. And I want you to just sit with it and just really adapt to the idea of, these are things that I think about my job, before you start changing anything, because most of you, when you do this, are going to be really locked into that it's the truth. Like, it's going to feel true, but if it feels shitty, that means it's not true. It just means it feels true and shitty. If it's an actual fact, there'll be no feeling to it. Like, if I said, here's a pen. Like, nobody has a fucking feeling about this pen. Unless I said, here's that pen that never writes when I want it to. Now, if I try to write and this pen doesn't do it, we could argue that this pen never writes when I want it to. And I'd be like, well, yeah, it's true, but it also is frustrating. I also could be thinking, here's a pen that needs to be thrown away. Here's a pen that used to write every time I wanted it to. Here's a pen low on ink. That's how we know the difference between thoughts. So what you want to do is when you list out your thoughts of, I'm so stressed because of work, because I keep thinking, and you list those out, you really need to lay in the land of a little, like I would say for a few days of just noticing every time you think those things and say, like, that's something that I think about work. It feels true and it feels stressful, but it is the way that I tell this story in this moment. When you do that for a few days, what happens is your brain stops agreeing with your pain and arguing for why you're right and justified to constantly be stressed. It starts noticing that it's just something you're thinking. And what ends up happening is you start seeing less and less of your stress and you start seeing more and more of your thinking, which is what you want to do. Because if you keep thinking that the work just is stressful, then I swear to God, every time the phone rings, you'll think, oh, fuck, see, the phone's ringing one more time. Or you'll get an email and be like, does email ever stop? Like, you'll have so many runaway thoughts. Every little thing that happens, you'll blame it on work as if it's creating all this emotion and pain for you without stopping to realize, oh, wait a minute. There are some things about my job I may not like, and here's those things, but a lot of the stress
I think I might be causing it. I will tell you guys, just identifying what we call thought babies and cutting those things out is everything. And if you don't know what a thought baby is, you can go to Thought Bootcamp. It's in the bonus courses. We're wrapping up No BS. So for all of you newbies, if you have what I just call like, Corinne, I love this thought work stuff, but I'm just going to tell you right now, a lot of my thinking sucks. My life is stressful. I'm overwhelmed all the time. I think I suck. Like if you notice that you're the lens of which you see the world and your abilities and stuff like that is always like, I'm just so tired. I'm just so exhausted. I'm just so this. I'm just so that. And it's always on the land of negative. And I don't mean like, you know, throwing yourself under the bus negative, but just like you just feel like you go to bed every night. You just barely got through, you know? Go listen to Thought Bootcamp next. That would be the next work that I would do. Thought Bootcamp really helps you identify the little thought babies that hose all of us. And it helps you really kind of take the think, feel, do cycle to the next level. If you eat past satisfied or enough, but it still doesn't feel shameful or like an overeat, should you fill out a discovery worksheet? The discovery worksheet is not for your shame. The discovery worksheet is for any time you overeat or eat off plan so that you can understand the reasons. And then that way you eventually can get to where stopping at enough is easier and staying on plan is easier. It's not just for when you feel bad about it. In fact, I would love it if all of you would quit feeling so bad about your overeats and off plan eats and get into the idea of slapping on the scientist lab coat. Remember, when we're the judge and jury of ourselves, that's when we feel shame. That's when we feel bad. When I have overeats, I never feel bad about myself over it. But I'm also really curious as to why I'm doing it. I really want to understand it. Sometimes I might even be a little frustrated that I missed my signals. But I quickly move into, I just want to understand it. Last thing I want is a repeatable pattern. I don't want to keep doing this over and over again because my brain loves to make habits. That's the way they all work. Last thing I want to do is notice something happens two or three times and me just keep on doing it, wondering like, when's that going to stop? You know when it's going to stop? When you try about 400 things to make it stop. What can we read to learn more about historical food shaming? That's a really good one. I read the most hilarious diet book ever, and it had a lot of stuff in there. I highly recommend it. I recommend reading it or listening to this book, actually. It's called Fuck Your Diet, and it's by Chloe Hilliard. And it's just it's basically about her life, but what she does is she incorporates in that book a lot of So it's like hilarious stories about her and just living in a bigger body and going through life and what it was like. So much of it reminded me of myself too when I was younger, just being bullied, all kinds of stuff. But she was a Black girl growing up. I believe it's in New York, and she grew up in the Jewish part of town. And she just had like all the, it was definitely New York. She went to NYU. It was just like her life growing up. And so she talked about like, you know, when they didn't have a lot of food and when they did and, you know, how her grandmama was about food and all kinds of stuff. And she does it in such a fun way and also incorporates a lot of how, like how the food system has worked for people. And then like how body stuff has worked for people. If you want to look up, I follow a couple, you know, guys, I'll find some resources. I follow a few people on Instagram now that kind of talk about this stuff. I'll see if I can find those. And then what is it that I was looking at the other day? There are, let me save my podcast. Hang on a second. Hang on, let me go to my shows. Let's see. Well, of course, nobody's got anything new right now. I'll find some stuff and I'll post a few resources. But if you'll start with for sure, The Body is Not an Apology. That's a great book. In fact, my team is reading it together next month. And then the Fuck Your Diet book. And just start with those two. Let me find, these are not the, y'all don't even know how many podcasts I listen to. I can't find the ones that I want to find. So I'll figure it out. How will January camp benefit your girls in maintenance? Thank you for all you do. Well, I mean, I think every camp does because it makes you think about stuff. One of the things that we're doing is, it's so funny you asked this because I'm in the middle of writing this one book, but out of that book has come this idea that I want to write a book called I Lost Weight, Now What? And I'm going to be talking more. In fact, Betsy and I did a podcast yesterday and it'll be dropping in the public podcast, but we kind of talk about some maintenance mindset stuff. But this particular camp, it's a lot about the habits. Hang on. Let me pull up the workbook itself. I just finished it. We got to go all the way back up to the top. You're going to basically leave with a 60-day goal blueprint. And that goal can be like, I'm calling it weight loss health goals because not everybody is wanting to lose weight now. You know, a lot of you have reached where you want to be. And so we're going to talk first about who do you want to be. So for all of you who are in maintenance or whether you want to lose weight or whatever, before you can like really set a goal, you got to know at the end of the day, who do you expect yourself to be? Like, and I think this is really important for all of you. You know, one of the things that I do inside of No BS is I start planting the seed of all that thought work. We do a lot of thought work. I'm talking to you about enjoying your journey and that we're only going to do things that feel doable. Our planner is specifically designed to help you start identifying with that version of you who you want to be. So here we're going to kind of dive a little deeper into that concept. And then we're going to do purposeful whys. We're going to talk about, like, we talk some about whys inside of No BS and stuff, but here we're going to kind of take it a little bit deeper by not only finding whys, but talk about, like, I'll tell you guys, you need more than one why. You guys do not need to just have one. There is a call inside the membership with John Acuff. If you have struggled with setting a why or you want to understand kind of conceptually about the importance of your whys, we used to call it compelling reason. You can listen to the John Acuff call. Mary Jo, will you put that link inside the comments also? But when you tie together knowing at the end of the day, the person that you want to be when you lose your weight or the person you want to be as someone who's maintaining or for that next goal, along with, and this is the reasons why, and you know, like, well, this why is for my overeats and this why is for exercise and this why is for, you know, making my 24-hour plan. Like, I want you guys to have whys that support the different parts and things that you do. And that's what I've been working on, like, as new stuff. And then you set a goal. Then you identify what you really want. Because once you can really envision the version of you that you want to be, like, I want to feel this way and I want to think these things. And this is why it's so important to me. Setting a goal, whether it's in business, with your weight, with your family, whatever it is, becomes easier and it puts it in like the front of your brain. A lot of us, what we do and what we've always been taught is just pick a number. Like, what do you want to weigh? As if, let me just tell you, the reason why I'm so passionate about this, let me get y'all back on screen. The reason why I am so passionate about this is because the diet industry always makes you pick a number. And then guess what our brain wants to do? It kind of knows who we want to be, but we don't probe for it. So our brain makes this unreasonable connection that that number will provide that life. That's not how it works. We have to know the kind of life that we want and then find the places in today's life to start making those changes and start changing our life in order to get to the goal we want. But the diet industry teaches it this way. We're going to lose weight so you can get to the life that you want. The weight is never what makes you upset. The weight is never what makes you not be able to appreciate, have gratitude, love, find pride, enjoy yourself. Your thinking is always what does that. But the diet industry has convinced us that the body and the weight are what make us happy or sad, proud or feeling ashamed. And so what we're going to be doing at January Camp, and guys, if you can't come to January Camp, I love you, and I'm not going to be leaving you out in the cold. This is 3 days of in-depth work you get to do. We will be talking about this as we go along. This is all stuff that, you know, over the next few months, you will start hearing more and more coaching on it and stuff like that. Just, this is a 3-day intensive designed for someone to be like, here's where I'm at, and this is my foundation, and here's where I want to be. And now I'm going to learn how to bridge the gap between the two. But we have to start figuring out, if this is where I'm at today, I've got to start figuring out how to change the components of this life and this thinking. Because me, who reaches my end goal, starts here. But what we do is we get so ashamed of who we are that we can't make the changes today that lead to that. We forget, like all of you forget every single time, that when you lose weight, whoever is watching this Q&A right now, like your future self watched this Q&A and decided to do something after it. The version of you, your future self, who loses all of her weight, if she ate over 8 last night, guess what? Same person. At some point, your future self quits quitting. At some point, your future self unlearns the shame of an overeat. At some point, your future self decides, I'm going to really figure out how to quit arguing with myself for a snack and start being patient and letting that desire run its course. That's all that's happened. That's it. Let's see. It looks like we're having some Facebook problems. Don't worry. It will still record everything, so it'll be fine. Did it take you a little bit to envision and figure out your future self? I could very well be dissecting it too much, but I keep thinking this isn't who you really want to be because you don't know who the hell you are. It doesn't matter. You are dissecting it too much. This is the problem. I struggle to believe this is who I'm going to be and not me trying to grab small bits from other people's wants and dreams. So what? Grab some. I always, like, here's one of the things, like, so I'm like, it, like, this would be like somebody saying, you know, like my mentor, I love the impact she has in the world. I love it. I love the impact Oprah has in the world too. And guess what? Very often I sit around and when I envision myself, I don't know how to envision myself as an Oprah unless I think about Oprah. So I grab bits and pieces from that. Here's the amazing thing about doing it. As you go along, your future self will change as you change. As you get more confident in you, as you start really understanding, like as you start getting into becoming like another person and stuff, some stuff that you originally pick, you'll change. Some stuff you'll double down on. So what? When you do future self work, guys, it's not set in concrete. Is to get you pointed in the direction in which you think you want to go. I'd rather you get started going in a direction that you think you want to go than to keep sitting around knowing this isn't where you want to be. Or looking back and focusing so much on where you've been that you stall out here. I'm a September baby and struggling with diet mentality that has been in my head for so long. I used to count macros and it was based on weight goals. I'm not sure what would be good sustainable weight loss goal to be going after. I'm down 8 pounds since joining. Or if you're coming from a diet mentality background, would you not really focus on the number and set other goals? Okay. So I am actually teaching this at January camp. I'm going to tell you guys it right now because I think it's the most amazing concept that I've come up with in a while. I love the way I just sit around and come up with shit for you guys. So there are what's called diet goals. Diet goals are, and I call it diet mentality goals inside the camp material. And a diet mentality goal is where you're focused on the number, you're focused on the weigh-ins, and you're focused on the outcomes of the stuff. And so you don't really track or measure hardly anything else. It's just like, well, I know I want to lose a pound this week. And guys, I get it inside of the planner. I ask you about that, and that's fine. But what ends up happening is, like, we need an outcome goal, singular, but what we need are lots of do goals. That's where 95% of your effort and energy needs to go into. Do goals are the things, I want you to think about the think, feel, do cycle. It's why I call them do goals. It's because it's the things, it's the goal of the things I'm going to be doing. So if your goal throughout the month of November is to finish handling the holidays, have 30 24-hour plans, that not only did I plan, but I assessed every single one of them. Like, I want you to think about do goals. Do goals, like, have maybe for a lot of you who do, like, weekend fuck it eating, like, your do goal is to have a solid weekend only plan. Like, so for the next 4 weekends, I'm going to sit down on Thursday night and I'm going to think through my entire weekend. I'm going to write up like a story of the weekend. This is how I want to wake up on Monday, feeling blah, 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 blah. And it's because all weekend long, I did these things. I ate these things. I talked like this. I got this much sleep. I drank this much water. Here are all the things I did. So a do goal is actually where you take processes and you track them and you create goals around them. So I want you to think about, there are the steps, the basics, the processes that are involved inside of No BS. And I want you guys focused on setting goals around those. And then you go out and you do that. And that's what you're tracking. And then 5% of the time, you check in with your diet goal, your outcome goal, to see if the processes that you're doing, the do goals, are getting you there. Sometimes you'll go back and you'll look at your do goals and you'll think, okay, I need different do goals because I'm doing them at 100% and I'm not getting the outcome that I thought I would. So if you're not getting the outcome you thought you would, but you're 100% on top of your do goals, meeting those like a boss, no reason to feel bad. Guess what you got to do? Go look for something to change. Try something new. Get your ass back in the game. Or you'll notice the outcomes not happen. You'll go look at the do goals. You'll look at your tracking and you'll notice, this is why we got a habit tracker. It's a real easy place to fucking do all this work, is in that planner. You go and you look at it and you'll notice, all right, I'm planning, I'm half-ass assessing. And I also notice that half-assery on the assessing equals about the same amount of time that my ass is overeating. So it would only make sense that if I really want to solve this, I should get to where I'm assessing 100%, because right now I know I'm overeating, but I'm not collecting the data on it. So what I want to get 100% on the data on every overeat. Collecting 100% data there will tell me the next steps. That is the difference between a process do goal and a diet or outcome goal. We want to have outcomes and, like, those kinds of things to be able to know if we're heading in the right direction. But in order to get there, the do goals, those are what carry you along the way. Those are where the energy and effort go in. And then all you have to do is track them and then work on raising the numbers up. Because once you dial the steps in and then you dial the consistency in there, Weight loss becomes so easy. And guess what? Do goals become habits. Because when you're focused on consistency with do goals over perfection, and you consistently keep showing up for them and tweaking and assessing them, they end up becoming habits. That's how you form habits. So the whole second day of camp is all about that theory of, it's called the getting shit done process. I'm going to be talking about a little bit more about the do goal versus the diet goal. We're going to be talking about delayed gratification, the consistency over perfectionism. We're going to be talking about some of that stuff. But that, like, seriously, for a lot of you, that's probably enough to just get your ass, like, going in the right direction. You have the tools. The planner has a habit tracker with extra blank spots for a reason for you to track. So guess what? If you're not using it right now, you need to get consistent with getting to that stage, because that tracking and stuff, that's what tells you what is your next obstacle to overcome in weight loss. Most of you are running up on obstacles and acting as if it shouldn't happen. It's bad that it's happening. I can't believe this is happening. There must be something wrong with me. No. All the way to weight loss is obstacles. Just some of you are going to run into them and figure them out and never quit. And some of you are going to be like, woe is me. My cross is heavier than everybody else's. Wah, 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 shitty diaper. I'm going to just sit here and wonder why I can't get my shit together. Obstacle. That's also, we have a whole class called Obstacle Busters. But y'all, obstacles are part of the journey. The quicker you stop acting like a baby about them, the faster you'll lose weight. Well, if you won't sit back, not like this shit shouldn't be happening to you, or that, well, Corinne, you just don't know my life. It's so stressful. It's so this. None of that solves your obstacles. It may give you some relief when you're bitching, but bitching don't equal weight loss. I've been snacking in bed most nights because my brain is sending up thoughts that it's relaxation time. So time for your snack. I do plan for an evening snack, but I usually go off plan eating more than what I planned. It then turns into a downward spiral of me buffering and grab-assing. What are some thoughts I can tell myself to work on to stop doing this so much? Guys, all of you that are eating at night, quit asking me for thoughts. Do you know what's going to have to happen? At some point, you have to make the decision. A lot of times you guys are asking me for thoughts because I think you really think I'm going to give you a thought that's going to, like, all right, I'm going to want to overeat at night. So if you give me a magic thought, then it's going to be easy and I'm just going to sit there. I'm not going to be able to give you a thought for 8 o'clock at night when you're used to eating Oreos that's going to make it feel as relaxing as laying in bed eating your face off on Oreos. It's not going to happen. Everybody right now, take a big-ass deep breath in. It's like breathing in reality and blowing out the bullshit right now. You need to do this, all of you who are eating at night. I want you to journal about what is it going to be like if I don't eat tonight. I know I don't need to. I know my brain really wants it. Like, all that shit's going to happen. But if I take the food away, what am I left with? The answer is right there. Whatever your brain thinks it's going to be like is going to be whether or not you embrace it and go for it and unlearn eating to relax, or whether or not every night you're going to say you're going to do it, and when you get there, your brain's like freaking out already. It's like, oh God, oh, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. And it's going to be freaked out before it even starts offering up its baby thoughts. The only thing that I can tell you guys, honestly, about breaking some habit like that, is that I think the first step has to be, you got to get clear on what you think it's going to be like without the food. That's going to uncover a couple things. I would highly suggest you guys get on office hours to talk about this. Like, for those of you who really want to solve it, I believe we have office hours tonight with MJ. And I'll give MJ a heads up in case any of you can come. It starts at 5 p.m. Central Time. Is right today about like, so if I decide not to eat tonight at 8 o'clock, here's what I think is going to happen. So let me tell you what, just from my experience, what I get from you guys. Number one is some of you will think, like when you think about it, you will think it's going to be terrible. Like I'm going to want it real bad and blah, blah, blah. Like if you're worried about the urge itself, this is the easiest part to solve. It's absolutely the easiest part to solve because all you have to do is get better at training your brain that the urge is just a feeling. So when it comes, you need to be like, you know what's going to happen tonight? I know exactly what's going to happen tonight. The moment that like it's time, I'm going to cheerlead myself all day. I'm going to talk to myself about tonight. We're going to figure out how to sit with an urge and it just be awkward. It does not have to be skin crawling. It does not have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be anything. Tonight, what I want to do is I really want to understand how my body is physically reacting to urges. And there's a couple of ways to do this. You can go to, there's an urge meditation inside of pnptribe.com. If you go to, I think it's weight loss resources. Let me just pull it up. I don't like to say the wrong thing on here. I got to find Safari. Hang on and I'll tell you guys. I actually don't have my own website up. I've got like 40,000 others. So you're going to go and you can do the urge resource or the urge meditation that I have for all of you. It's underneath weight loss resources. Hang on. My menu jumped. You'll go to worksheets and more. Mary Jo, can we just add a drop down that says meditations? It can go to the same page, but rather than saying and more, let's just put like worksheets. And then we can also have one and it just have another button that says meditation since we have a couple underneath there. So you'll go there. So when you have an urge, for all of you who are just worried about like, it's hard, it's going to like be blah, 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 whatever your dramatic ass story is, we're going to shift the story to today we're planning to not eat tonight. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to visualize myself learning how to sit through an urge without it being dramatic. I'm going to either use Corinne's urge meditation, or you can go to No BS in module 2. And in the feelings lesson, I teach you how to feel a feeling. And I want you to listen to it because here's the thing that you have to ultimately do in order to break, like eventually you want to break the overeating habit. We have to get to the stage where you really understand that an urge is just the feeling that goes through your body, that nothing's truly happening to you. Most of you get caught up in the thinking that goes on, and you mistakenly believe that the thinking is such a problem. You know, there's lots of thoughts coming on. There's lots of all this other stuff. What you really need to do is teach your brain that when an urge hits, it automatically drops into your body and it starts understanding the physical sensations. In module 2 of No BS, I recorded that feelings of feeling thing specifically for you guys so that you could start understanding that feelings are just chemical reactions that happen in the body. They are nothing more. Now, you have a lot of thoughts and opinions about them that make it harder and harder physically on yourself to tolerate them. But at the end of the day, we want to train our brain that when an urge hits, you know that the worst that's going to happen is whatever your physical sensations are. And over time, when you don't have a lot of arguing going on with your urge, a lot of fear around your urge, when you don't have a lot of other shit going on, the urge physical sensations end up lessening. And here's how that happens. Every sentence that your brain has a feeling attached to it. So most of you at 8 o'clock at night, you're literally only feeling the sentence that just has want and desire going on, which is, that'll taste good. Time to relax. We should eat something. We've been good all day. That pumps out just some adrenaline. It just pumps out some like, woo, we should go do something about this. Then comes if you don't respond to that. Like, so a lot of you do sit through an urge. You sit through the first minute, the first 2 minutes, and then you start letting all these other thoughts come in. Like, oh my God, do we still want this? We should really just go get it. Your brain starts turning up the dial. And every one of those dials that it turns, like, it'll start saying, like, you just can't, like, there's no way we can sit through this. I will guarantee you this is going to last all night long. Like, how much longer is this fucking urge going to last? I can't believe, see, and there's my jackass partner over there eating ice cream right in front of me. Like, your brain has all of those sentences now running. Guess what every one of them has? A shot of warm fireball coursing through your veins, every single one of them. I say it in the video. One thought is like getting a shot of fireball. A bunch of shitty ass, old crappy ones, dogpiling on one urge is like 10 shots of warm, like piss warm fireball going down the gullet. It's going to be hot. It's going to burn you up. It's going to make you uncomfortable. You ain't going to know what hit you. So we have to make sure that we get good. Your brain right now thinks that all those thoughts are reality. Your brain thinks the urge is all those things happening to you. All these thoughts are happening to you. No, every one of them has another feeling. And so your body now has a lot of chemical emotion going through you. So when you do the urge meditation, when you do the feelings, when you drop in, over time, you teach your body how to get really good at when it feels an urge to notice the physical sensations instead of just listening to the bullshit. That solves a lot of it for you guys. Now, the other side of it, when you ask yourself, you know, without the food, what's it going to be like? This is where you sit and think, well, if I don't have something to eat, I'm going to be thinking about my shitty ass life. Without the food, I don't have anything else to look forward to. Without the food, like for all my perfectionists, well, if I'm not eating, I'm going to sit around and I'm going to think about everything I need to do tomorrow and everything I did wrong today. I'm going to second guess myself like a boss. I'm going to think I didn't spend enough time with my kids today. So that part is the part where the thought work really comes into play. Because when you don't have the food, what do you want to do? Do you want to work on your life and up-level it? Or do you want to keep eating so you don't have to think about your life and just let it keep repeating? A lot of you miss such an amazing opportunity to rebuild a loving relationship with yourself because you choose to eat instead of listening to how you talk to yourself and how you talk to your life and deciding, do I want to keep that or not? Not eating at night is not restrictive. Not eating at night is not a punishment. It's not that it's unfair. It's none of that stuff. Not eating at night is a gift you give yourself to figure out the real relationship you have with you. Not eating at night is an opportunity to learn how to feel feelings instead of thinking you can't handle them. So when your brain wants to tell you that at night, not having your Oreos or whatever is depriving, unfair, whatever, if you want to give it a thought, tell your brain that you're ready to start giving yourself the gift of a new relationship with yourself, a new relationship with your life, and understanding how to feel any emotion so that you never have to eat through another one ever again. That is the gift of unwinding some overeating habits. Okay. All right. That's all the time we have. I have a meeting that starts at 10. That's all the time we have today. I will be back. Let me tell you guys what we're doing this week, because we have some fun calls this week with me. I'm like basically the coach of record this week. I would just like to like high five myself. that's not true. Judith tonight is doing, for all of the, if you went to October Self-Love Camp, we are now doing live replays. So, you know, you got all the video replays for October Camp. We are now doing segments where we are replaying one video at a time live with you guys and a coach. So if you had to miss it when we were live, or you just want a second run and you want to do it again with everybody and you want to learn more and you want to ask coaches questions, Judith will be doing that for all of the October campers. It's day one, and it's the coaching on feelings and telling the truth. That will be tonight at 5 p.m. Tomorrow night is office hours with Coach MJ. I got the date wrong, but tomorrow night is when office hours are. So for those of you who want to do that urge work and like, what would it be like to be without food? Take it to Coach MJ tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Central Time. Then on Saturday, I will be coaching on the final module of No BS, which is Staying on Track for Life with Corinne. We're going to talk about those. You can bring any coaching that you want from module 4. I'd be more than happy to help you. There's a lot of goodies in there, so you get to pick whatever you want. And then I'll also, for all of you who were like, well, what's next after No BS? If you go to Ask Coaches and you finish and you, like, the first thing that I would do is I would think about either re-going through No BS a second time, because I always say, like, mastery doesn't really happen until about the fourth time that you listen to things. That's, you know, like, think about when you read a book. It's not like you master a book. You read a book, you get a few good ideas. If you read a book three or four times, you start mastering some of the concepts. So a lot of you, what ends up happening is the first time you listen to No BS, all you really get is like, here are the few things I'm going to do, and I get good at a few little things. Now, the second time, I want to get good at a few more things. I want to understand things a little bit deeper. Handling the holidays, though, is going to be the program that we are going to do all together during the month of November, which will be awesome. So if you want to learn how to handle the holidays like a boss, the course will be releasing this weekend. I'm not sure which day, but it will be before Monday or before Sunday, because that's November 1st. But we'll be doing Handling the Holidays with me. I completely rewrote it for this year. This year's a goodie. At 12 p.m. Central Time, I will be doing office hours. Then at 2 p.m. Central Time, I'm going to watch the Handling the Holiday videos with all of you. So if you come to the Zoom call, I'm going to play the lessons with you, and I will be in the chat answering questions, and I will be helping you guys, and I'll probably speak a little bit about it. So that's what we got, all the things. How long will the videos be available for us on the website, No BS Course? As long as you're a member. You get access to everything as long as you're a member. The only time you ever don't get access is when you ain't a member anymore. That's it. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.